The meeting of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees is now back in open session. The first item on our agenda at this time will be presented by the board attorney. It is regarding the president's contract.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before you is, for review, is the third amended presidential employment contract for President Watson. The Third Amendment accomplishes primarily two things. Its form and substance and provisions are essentially the same as the previous two contracts, with two exceptions. Number one, we are amending the contract to reflect a change in the law that prevents or limits salaries of participants who are already participating in the state university retirement system. And that is, Dr. Watson is already participating in the state university retirement system, and as a current state employee, there is a cap on the salary that those persons can achieve. So we have to amend the previous contract to reduce the salary of the president for the period of July 1 or June 30th, 2013 to July 1, 2014. The second substantive change to the contract provides an extension of the term of the president from June 30th or July 1st, 2014 to June 30th, 2016, again at the reduced salary of $146,363 annually.
Are there any questions from any board members? I'm sure that people would like to know why Dr. Watson is signing a contract that greatly reduces his salary. Would you address that before we vote, Doctor?
Yes, I will. Without a doubt, Chicago State University is a university that has had a major impact with the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. The last 4 years have been an opportunity for all of us to pull together as a team. And that is what has happened. The last 4 years, we established a mission. This university, this college, the faculty, the staff, redefined the mission for Chicago State University. The Board of Trustees approved it. We are about 80%, 70% through that mission. With the board's support, the faculty and the staff's support, we have achieved a 10-year accreditation as stated by the HLC, the Higher Learning Commission. They said this could not have been done without a total university support. We have achieved a reestablishment, a reaffirmation of our NCAA, accreditation in terms of athletics. We have achieved a reduction of our audit findings, 61% reduction in audit findings. Every year there has been a consecutive drop in our audit findings. We have raised the academic standards of our university. We have made steps, major steps, towards excellence in terms of working with our, in terms of what our faculty are performing. Our students, we have reaffirmed and established an academic rigor, not only within our programs, but with our students. We made difficult decisions, and I mean difficult decisions. Eyes wide open, we made decisions to right-size our university, to right-size the population of our students at the university to ensure that we had 100% of a student body that was interested, whose goal was to graduate from college. And we made some difficult decisions, and we had to execute those decisions with regards to our enrollment. We have also made some very, accomplishments from rebuilding our chairs in terms of sending them now for training for the first time. We have something called post-tenure review. No other university in the state, or very few, if not any other university, has post-tenure review of the faculty. We have raised the standard of accountability for administrators. And as important as everything that I've said, one step that we've made is we have connected with the contiguous community, Slim Coleman. The community surrounding our university. When I first came here, the community was saying this is like a town and gown. There's no connection between the university and the community. The community surrounding Chicago State University embraces it now. Chicago State engages that community, and Chicago State has empowered that community. We now have 15 faculty members working in the community on one project called Contiguous Community, where we're helping our community to solve very specific problems. So, sir, in response to that question, and to my students, I say, we have a mission, and the students are at the core of the mission. We have not finished, and there's a poem. It's called See It Through. We're going to see this one through. And I am proud, and I am humbled, and I'm very appreciative of this board of trustees for giving its support to me to go forth. Thank you, sir.
I move we accept the third amended contract.
I second that motion.
Trustee Curtin?
Aye.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Reyna?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
Our next action item is the election of the board secretary. Attorney Neal, would you?
The first step is to place into nomination someone for the position.
I nominate Trustee Curtin.
Second.
Yeah.
Moved and.
Who was that?
Moved by the chairman, seconded by
Trustee Joyce.
Trustee Joyce.
Trustee Curtin?
Aye.
Well, it's only for nominations. Are there any other nominations?
No. Okay. I move we close nomination on this one name.
Okay.
Second.
Move that the nominations be closed.
Okay. Trustee Curtin?
Aye.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Reyna?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Aye.
And just so everyone understands, the way our bylaws are currently written, the chairman of the board and the vice chairman of the board serve 2-year terms, and the secretary is elected every year. So I was elected last year. Trustee Joyce was elected last year. We were elected for 2-year terms. Trustee Curtin was elected last year for a 1-year term, and now we've just elected him for another year's term.
Would you like me to tally the votes, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
All right. A little practice doing that. I can tell you that the vote is 7-0 to elect Trustee Curtin for the position of secretary.
You'll know, I voted for myself, so. Thank you, I'm honored.
We'll call the roll for the approve the election.
Trustee Curtin.
Aye.
Trustee Young?
Aye.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Reyna?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Aye.
Trustee Zoller?
Aye.
Next on the agenda are two collective bargaining agreements that will be presented by the
University is seeking approval of two collective bargaining agreements. The first involves Teamsters Local 743. This is composed of secretarial, clerical, library aides, cashiers, and parking staff. This is a four-year agreement with a begin date of July 1st, 2013 through June 30th, 2017. The first year, 2% increase. Second year, 2015, 2.5% increase. Third year, 2016, 2.5% increase. Fourth year, 2017, 2.5% increase. We're expanding the work week from 35 hours to 37 and a half hours for all employees in that unit. The second collective bargaining agreement we're seeking approval of involves SEI Local 73, composed of building service workers and sub-foremen. The new term of the new agreement, July 1st, 2013 through June 30th, 2017, first year 3% increase, second year 2.5% increase, third year 2.5% increase, and the fourth year 2% increase. Overtime will only be paid when an employee works more than 7.5 hours a day and 37.5 hours per week. Those are the essential outlines of the terms of the new agreements.
Any questions from any of the board members regarding the new collective bargaining agreements? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Reyna?
Yes.
Trustee Smith?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zolar?
Yes.
Trustee Zolar, did you want to acknowledge one of our
I would
members?
Like to, yes, thank you. Speaking on behalf of the Board of Trustees, we'd like to acknowledge Dr. Damon Arnold. Dr. Arnold, would you stand just for 1 second? And recognize his accomplishments as the Obama administration has done. And we want to congratulate you. We understand that you will be moving on and working with the Obama administration. And we really want to thank you for all that you have done for us and for the acclaim that you've brought to the university. And we're sure that you will continue to think of us as you move on to the federal government level. Oh, thank you so much.
It's always been an honor working with everyone here. I feel that you're poised to move this community into the future in a very positive way. And there's only one bastion of hope for security of our community is with this university.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Hear, hear.
We'll now have a report from our student trustee.
Thank you so much. Well, first of all, I'd like to first take an opportunity to thank God for the opportunity to serve. It's always good to give alms to the Most High. And then I'd like to say that it is an honor and a privilege to serve on this board with all of you, because what most people don't take away from it is your sincerity and your genuineness to increase the opportunities for us, the students, to enter into a workforce and to achieve terminal degrees, and to also eliminate the disparities that we suffer from, you know, specifically minority populations like Latinos and African Americans. And so with my report today, I would like to help everybody at the CSU community gain a further, more in-depth, detailed perspective and understanding about the things that our students are concerned with, the issues that we have to overcome daily, sometimes hourly, and then also create an opportunity to unify this campus and help build a little bit more morale, but more focused, centered attention on the needs that we must meet in order to eliminate everything that troubles our communities. And then I would also like to recognize three very special people that I invited here. I would like to recognize Reverend Walter Coleman as an advocate and an activist. And then Reverend Emma Lozano as an advocate and an activist and a friend to this university, both of them are, and also Sarita Walker as an advocate. These are some of the persons that have given me a great opportunity to be able to not only give, you know, CSU a great representation in the community and to do things that are great, but this was a connection that was provided through Dr. Arnold, and I thank you so much for everything that you have done for me in my life, and you know, I will always be eternally grateful to you. And then also, let me not forget our president. I like our president. He's a likable guy because he does the right things, because he's more focused on what is the mission of the university. And so last but not likely, I would just like to thank everybody else here who has ever taught, mentored, or given a word of positive feedback and edified people, because we so often come here in distress looking for the opportunity to save, you know, something that we've gone through and stop other people from having to pass through it. I would have liked to have invited other students here to give their testimony, but because of what I'm going to say today, I felt that it was probably more appropriate to just tell you about what I've gone through and to save them the despair and the anxiety and the level of malicious attack that I have undergone. But I will first go through a couple of concerns and some issues that the students have brought to me. So on February 20th, I received a student concerns report back, and I want to thank everybody that participated in that. We had a meeting, SGA, Tuesday, February 25th, 2014, at 12:30 p.m. here. We met everybody, and first of all, you guys did a great, great job. We had an open talk, lots of dialogue, and we addressed issues that had to deal with when the soccer team will be on campus, and is there room for recruiting for students, and are any other sporting events or teams in the works. That was answered. Fantastic. Thank you for that. Concerning the snow and ice issues, we learned that, you know, we have had almost double the expenditure from the prior snowfall, and that was not anything new, but I never was aware of the expenditure costs, and the students became more informed and more aware, and that was great, and I thank you for that. Regarding the daycare center annex to the education building, we asked what is the start and completion date and how much money will it cost, and I thank you so much for being transparent. And some of the issues that many of the students focus on is based on the lack of communication that we have here, and I thank you for having set that record straight somewhere between 2015 and 2016 when we allocate the funds and they're released to us, because that's really what holds it. Then we will be able to get a bid, and we will have contractors, and we can have a completion date, and that's something that most students don't understand. And again, thank you for the opportunity to develop and grow with the university and how it goes through its normal functions. The Robinson being completed, what is the start and completion of renovation, how much money was set aside and needed. This was also responded to. Current enrollment numbers and how much money is being allocated to enrollment initiatives. I thank everybody from Enrollment Manage on letting us know about their progressive and strategies being used to increase enrollment. Then what were the outreach initiatives and strategies for increasing student enrollment. The next item was one that caused me a little bit of concern, because one of the things that I have been charged with as a graduate student in public health is to eliminate the disparities. We know that a large portion of the population is African American and Latino and suffer from diseases like cancer, obesity, diabetes. And so what are we doing to recruit Latinos and diversify the campus? Now, this doesn't mean that we're not going to recruit African Americans, and people think it's a sensitive topic. I don't think so. We got to have a straight talk. 7% of Latinos are here, but we're roughly about 15%, and so I wanted to know what the initiatives are, not to be negative, but to show room for improvement and then add to it. And that is why I asked Reverend Coleman and Emma and Sarita to be here, because we will be producing a progressive approach on how to increase Latino enrollment and other students here to eliminate those disparities. You know, so, you know, that's something that we're going to do. It was just the response of some of the people that were there that said, well, not everybody's doing it, so why should we do it? And I think it's time that we address that issue, right? If nobody's doing it, then maybe we should start doing it. Because Chicago State is the epicenter, is that diamond that can we can effectively change everything. We have had Dr. Arnold here. We have Dr. Roundtree here. We have everybody here, black and brown and every other color. And it's time that we all unite this campus and do what you were told to do, you know, a long time ago, which is be your neighbor's brother, right? Watch them. Watch them. Take care of them. Last but not least, we found out through the roughest of ways that we do not have a cyberbullying policy. And we do not have a way to address the way students are treated here or harassed. And this has caused a lot of harm. Because people hide behind the freedom of speech to attack and harass people. And I'm going to give you this. When mom and dad are going through a divorce, you leave the children out. And it was fine because when I came here in 2010, I understood that there was conflict between administration and between faculty. I just never expected that faculty members began to attack students, either through cyberbullying or through other methods, or showing up to SGA meetings and causing conflict within, you know, SGA. And let me remind you, Student Government Association is an opportunity for students to develop and become efficient contributors to society by learning, not by conflicting with faculty and getting involved in a drag down, beat down fight. Because many students that I have talked to have asked me, you know, what is going on? And I said, I don't know. But I know that we're not protected. And so I was the one that asked and pushed and charged this administration and told them cyberbullying, bullying in any form, has an outcome. It's been associated with suicide. And I will not be here and wait until somebody or something happens that could have been preventable. Now, I put myself out there. And I was ready to just resign this position because as somebody who is a candidate for medical school and has just pushed every day to come here, working 9 part-time jobs in my graduate studies and receiving high academics above a 3.8, every day has been challenging. The other challenge is I'm a first-generation Mexicano, Latino, proud, right? At an African-American community, a predominantly black-serving institution, and I am being attacked, but not just I, other students. Other students that are misaligned with the efforts of a group of faculty members here who don't know when to stop because they don't know that they just can't win because they are not on the side of right. They are attacking the students. And I had asked many, many faculty because my responsibilities as a trustee is not to just engage the student population, but I care about this campus and I care about my school. And I've asked them, do you agree with their tactics when they are attacking women and students and, you know, doing all sorts of negative work, right, to tear down the efforts of first generations, people that this is our last chance to do it? And they said no. But I know that they're being bullied too. And I'll tell you something. At a young age, I had a severe brain trauma injury. At 7 years old, I was confined to a wheelchair in the Logan Square area, and it took me 2 years to recover from this accident. And I had been harassed, bullied, hit physically growing up on the crossboards between 2 different gangs. I survived it. I buried my friends. I started at 7 years old. And I know what the detrimental effects of any type of harassment, any type of bullying, and people just walking around not doing anything. It's just waiting its turn to come to you, and we must stop it. So what did we do? I came to the president, I came to the Board of Trustees meeting, and I said, you must do something. You must do something now. We have no protection. You know, it's not okay. When did we lose the disconnect from that? It's not okay to treat people this way. I am a student, and I do not belong on a faculty blog. I do not need to be ridiculed. I do not have to be a piece of misinformation. I do not have to be approached by Philip Beverly in a hallway and be told, do you want to increase your street cred? Well, ask me this question so I can embarrass the president. Let me tell you about street cred. Street cred was getting off the street. Street cred was surviving. Street cred is not here. I didn't come here for street cred. I came here for educational credibility, which is what I'm getting. Many of you are my friends or have been my friends. And then you turned on me because I didn't do what you wanted me to do, because it is not on the side of right. We are on the side of right. So I stand here before you as an advocate for the students, as a representative for those students that told me, say it. And I'm going to say it, but I'm also going to give you this opportunity. I'm a Christian. Sometimes I'm not a great Christian. God knows that. But I would like to forgive you. And then for all of those of you that suffer, I would like to offer you an apology, one that I never got. I'm sorry for everything you've ever been through that has made you change your focus from being student-focused, student first. And I would like to extend to you an apology to say, I'm sorry for everything you've ever felt. I'm sorry for the disparities that you may have gone through that have made you cause to feel retaliation, to feel fear, to feel not welcomed, to feel like you're in the minority, to feel like you're fighting for survival, and tell you, you are not alone. If you do not accept that, that's okay. That's all right. But I will tell you the other part of that story. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Students will not tolerate the demeaning attitudes, the arrogance that people show in the classrooms towards us, because you are provided with an opportunity to make us great, and you sure do. You sure do. Some of you go well beyond the call of duty, and God bless you. God bless you. So that's what it is. My report had to be one that had to be said, because it's finally got to be done. All right? I'm a Latino. I'm a Mexican. I'm a first generation. My father fought cancer, lives in a disease-burdened state, and every day I fight for the chance to go to medical school and to do things in our community and to let you know some of the things that we're doing. If you are somebody who is media, in the media, listen, don't sell the negative. Come to this side. We're doing great things here. We had an opportunity a couple weeks ago with Reverend Slim and Emma to bring 90 jobs to Pilsen and to give testimony about the public health disparities that affect minorities, Latinos and African Americans, when they don't have jobs. Unemployment, no access to health care, and we won. And we brought jobs to the Pilsen community. We have opportunities to speak at the American Public Health Association in Boston and to show all of our research about the globalization efforts and what they can and can't do, positive and negative, to help African Americans and Latinos in the world. We increase awareness. We have a public health educational campaign. We help one another. We do it because it's right, not because someone tells you to, and you stop attacking students. Take us off your blogs. Take us off your blogs. Take us off your blogs. My name does not belong as a student in this fight between you and the administration. It impedes our ability to move forward. It is you that goes and starts fights with other institutions, asking them to take action that they don't need to. We support our provost. The students love her. The students love her. The students love the people that help them do the things that they must do, which is be able to afford to go to school, be safe. We don't want to get involved with that, except they don't show up right here because fear of bullying. But we have done something great. And I was okay to put myself in the forefront. I won't take credit for it. You attacked me. You made me do it. And I thank you for that. You also drew me closer to my God and my faith. And you also made this community unite, because it's only a couple of you. Stop selling your poison, right? Stop misinforming students. You have advocates here. All of these trustees care about you. You just need to voice it. Come forward. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Call me. Call us. Approach us. Talk to us. Create dialogue. But there is no more need to be selling poison, because what you are selling is anxiety and has health implications towards it. I thank you for everything that everybody does, and I forgive you greatly, and it's okay now. Thank you.
We will now open for public comment. We will ask that comments be limited to 2 minutes.
Oh, sorry.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Laura Morgan. I'm a 40-year resident of the South Shore, South Chicago community. I have so many things that I would like to talk about, but so little time. I guess I'm just going to have to make my home here for a little while, maybe next 5 or 6 months. My life changed one morning when one of my neighbors knocked on my door and said, Mrs. Morgan, my son is dead. They killed him. They shot him 5 times on 79th and Essex, right under the police camera. We live on 80th and Essex. My thoughts immediately went to my own son. That could have been him. How did my block become a killing field? I found out that over 50 people had been killed on that very same corner. Personally, I've witnessed six of them in the last few years. How did we become with the nickname Beirut? How did we get here, and what could we have done to stop it? I started searching for answers to these questions in 2008 when my neighbor's son was killed. In a sense, I had been asleep to what had been going on around me. Now that I was awake, I had to decide what to do next. First, I started a block club. Then I started volunteering in my own neighborhood. Then I started a part-time job promoting social-emotional learning literature in the Chicago public schools in my community. For those of you who may not know, social-emotional learning is a process that purports to help thwart the violence of schools in the community, violence in schools and in the community. Teaching children and adults how to control their emotions, make responsible decisions, and maintain positive relationships, etc. I couldn't believe it when I couldn't get to see one principal to promote this literature. So my neighbors and I started a grassroots movement to promote social-emotional learning. So I'm here today to ask for your help in that area. I joined the Community Action Council, South Shore Community Action Council, which is aligned with the Chicago Public Schools. And we need representatives on that council from higher education community. We do not have a Chicago State University representative represented now. I've been calling here since June, when I became the membership chair of this Community Action Council. We need leadership. I've been volunteering throughout my community, and I found one problem. Leaders just don't know how to lead in my community. They need help in the area. It's not that they don't want to lead, but with so many different bodies, when you have people from community business organizations, religious organizations, educators, all these leaders coming together, how do you get them to work together so that we can solve the problem of crime in our area? Okay? That's just one thing, but I'll be back next month.
Okay.
Thank you.
Keep working.
I need your representative on my council.
Hello again. It's LaShondra Peoples, Interim Vice President of Enrollment Management and Student Affairs. I just wanted to make one correction for the record and to be included in the minutes. The spring 2013 enrollment was 5,823. I previously, earlier today, reported 5,412. However, I did not include the new admits for that spring term, so the accurate number is 5,823. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Pastor Emma Lozano, and I'm with the pastor at Lincoln United Methodist Church, associate pastor in the Pilsen community, that's the Mexican community, and also the associate pastor in Humboldt Park and at Paseo Boricua, which is the Puerto Rican community. And I'm here today because, first of all, I'm very pleased to see how passionate everybody is and how dedicated you are for recruitment. But I wanted you to let you know that we have some tremendous disparities in our community. And I've been very fortunate to work very closely with Mr. Ismael Reyna, and he's been out there being a mentor and helping us very much with these disparities. For example, there's a 20-year life gap with the insurance, people who are insured and those who are not, and with Obamacare. And I'm so happy that Dr. Arnold's going to be there because he needs to understand that the Dreamers are not covered under Obamacare, and you have to be here a permanent resident for 5 years before you're eligible for Obamacare. And anybody who's undocumented is ineligible for Obamacare. So we need a way to be able to help these people get the screenings and the early detection and the health care that they need, because I'm going to tell you right now, tuberculosis does not discriminate. It's not going to say, oh, because you are a citizen, we're not going to mess with you. They're going to go in everybody's body. And in order to stop those epidemics and pandemics, we need to make sure everybody has access to health care. But Ismael has been working very closely with me and Sarita and Reverend Coleman and our communities to make sure that we're dealing with those disparities, bringing them screenings and free health service from different entities and hospitals, and forcing hospitals to do transplants when they say, oh, they're not citizens, they don't belong here, we shouldn't be using citizens' hearts for these people. But we give our hearts up all the time, you know. So a lot of things, I think it's because lack of communication. I'm real excited about our community is only, we only took us 10 minutes to get here, and this is a beautiful facility, and yous are awesome trustees, and I know all about your backgrounds, and I'm really excited to be here. And this is where I want my community to come and be recruited, and I'm really excited about doing that. And I'm looking with Ismael, talking to Hoy La Raza, doing maybe some YouTube stuff with students, stories, and that sort of thing. I just want to encourage the trustees to continue with your passion and efforts and initiatives, so to help the Dreamers, because they don't get scholarships. So maybe some money could be put aside for the Dreamers and initiatives to help us recruit more Latinos, like the African-American community. Amen. There's Latino on Latino crime, and we need to bring our two communities together, and this is the place it can happen. Just like it happened for Harold Washington when we were out there together and we made that happen, I know we can happen again. And thank you so much, and Sarah will talk about our 5+1 to get 20 program. 5+1+1=20, and we'll explain why.
Let me just... We're running late, and I actually have to get my wife to the doctor here, so I want us to focus, and I hope that Chicago State will focus a little bit more on the concept of service learning. With that, there's some outreach that we've seen in the community, but we have 800 students at elementary schools and 5 high schools that are involved in a UTHEL Service Corps. We have medical students from Rush and University of Illinois that come and give them instruction in 5 chronic diseases, and then they go out and they work to screen people in those 5 areas, and then to follow them up. They get an introduction to health careers and so forth, but they also are getting their orientation to college. The more that we focus on service learning, the less that we have to depend on some kind of grants or anything else to make these kind of community programs work. It's part of the Rush Medical Student curriculum to be involved in the instruction in the high schools. We would like the same thing at Chicago State. So we've got our public health students that are there once or twice a week, that they're giving instruction to the students, that they're involved in the health screening and the outreach and the follow-up and so forth. That's the best way to recruit students into it. There's no reason out of that pool of 800 students that we don't have 500 students that are going to come to Chicago State, because they're already integrated within the process. I know that Chicago State's done a great job in outreach and sending its faculty out and so forth, but I'd like to see if there's not maybe more that we can do in terms of developing our service learning program. The same thing is true in terms of young, you know, we do a lot of emergency preparedness. We're linking up with the fire department in order to do that, but there's no reason why we're not looking at those careers already developing early in high school. The truth is that in today's careers, that a student really needs to make their decision when they're sophomores or juniors. They can't wait until they've been out of high school and then begin to move. They've got to make a very early decision, and we have to get that orientation there. By the same token, students at Chicago State are the best resource that we have to not only recruit but to train and orient these students. There's nobody recruits better than students. We can hire, if you hire an old guy like me, you're not going to get nobody here. But if you can bring students here that are involved and went through their same experience, then I think we're going to recruit a lot more. So I would just like the Board of Trustees and the administration to take another look at their concept of service learning and how they can make the links. And I think particularly we're ready to work with you very closely to make sure that that recruitment increases within the Latino community where we're already set up. But we want to expand the 5+1, what we call 5+1 at this Youth Health Service Corps program to the south side, and particularly we need your assistance in order to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you for listening to me. My name is Sarita Walker. I work on the 5+1 to get 20 health campaign, and I'm just going to quickly explain it to you. A lot of our students and those students that we recruit go, 5+1 doesn't equal 20. What could that possibly mean? But the 20 stands for the 20-year life gap that exists in Chicago, which means that neighborhood by neighborhood, you'll die 20 years sooner if you're in, say, Pilsen or Little Village compared to Hyde Park or Lincoln Park or something like that. That gap in New York is 12 years, and that gap in London is 7 years. So we know that other industrialized cities have even a lower gap than Chicago. Chicago's really off the map when it comes to the disparities. So what the 5+1 stands for is the five main diseases that the children and the high schoolers learn in the program, which are diabetes, high blood pressure and hypertension, HIV/AIDS, asthma, and breast and prostate cancer. So the children and the students in the program learn from Rush University medical and nursing students about what the disease is, how it affects the body, and how to screen their families for it. The plus one is the one healthy lifestyle that they need to incorporate themselves and instill in their family and friends in order to then get the 20. So they learn about nutrition and exercise and how to cook healthy foods and things like that. So if you add the screenings plus the healthy lifestyle, then they're supposed to get 20 years back for themselves and their community. And it's been a privilege to work on the program myself, because I've gotten to learn, see all different types of youth, youth who usually or sometimes don't want to participate, they're reluctant to participate, but in this program they really become engaged in their community, and they're the liaison between their families and the follow-up care that we can provide. So when people come to the health fairs or get screened by the Youth Health Service Corps, they can get, if they need follow-up care, if they realize that they have high blood glucose sugar, for example, they can get the follow-up care and treatment that they need through the program. So the youth are what connects the community to the health, to the healthcare. And so I'm really proud to be a part of the program, and I just wanted to present that to you today. So thank you for listening to me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Senator Darius Sanders. I'm here on behalf of the Student Government Association and our president, Dennis Johnson, and I'm just here to express that we are 100% behind the Go Green initiative, CSU Go Green initiative, which is the sustainability within our college campus and the beautification of the CSU community as a whole. And I would just like to, again, tell the Board of Trustees that the student government is 100% behind them, and that if anybody has any questions about it, you can come to the student activities / student government association office and the student union for more information about that. Thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Brittany Bailey, and I would like to first start off by saying everything that glitters is not gold. It's Mayor Reyna. The students didn't elect him, but he sits on the board, and he makes votes about issues that really affects the students. Not the students that Ismael Reyna is talking about, but the real students, okay? And I'm not just saying this because this is the way I feel, but we have evidence that supports the notion that Ismael Reyna is not the Board of Trustees. Now, I sit here and I look at the board, and I think that you all are behaving irresponsible. Because guess what? Everyone knows up there what I'm talking about. Because two Board of Trustees meetings ago, I gave you guys the documents supporting the notion that Ismael Reyna is not the Board of Trustees representative. That is breaking laws. That is breaking laws, but no one cares. And to speak about what Ismael Reyna said, the reason the students are not here is because today is Friday. Next week is spring break. I didn't even have a class today, but I came just to speak to you guys and let you guys know what is really going on campus, what is really affecting a real student on campus, not somebody who sit there in their suits and they meet with all these big people, but the real students on campus, not someone faking it, but the real people. Our student government is self-appointed. Are we living in Russia? No, we're not. This is the United States. Why are the students being treated like this? You guys have meetings that the students don't even know about. I look at the CSU website, and guess what? It's not made public that we have a meeting today. Why not? Look around. We have a handful of students. Where are they? It's not that they don't care. It's because they don't know these meetings are taking place. Either they don't know, or it's just at a wrong time. Because as you guys know, the culture here at Chicago State, we have families. We work. We is not the average student. But we come to school and we try to work hard to get that degree. We have excellent professors, excellent. And this is what I want to say. You guys sit there and vote confidence in the president when the faculty is against them, the students are against them, and the staff are against them. What more do you guys need when it's right here in everyone's faces? What more? Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Ashley Foster, and I'm a graduating senior here at Chicago State University. When I started here, I enrolled as a transfer honor student. That was in the spring of 2011. I remember the day like it was yesterday. I was talking to my mom and saying, I haven't received an acceptance from Chicago State as of yet. I wonder why. And she's like, well, classes are going to start soon. You better figure out what's going on. So because I'm a 21st Ward resident, it was nothing for me to come up to the school to figure out, hey, what's going on with the acceptance. They did a little research. It took about 10 minutes. He came back out with the packet and said, here, you're accepted. The packet had immunization information in it. It had placement test information in it. And this was my first time at a university. So I was taken back a little bit. I was kind of overwhelmed, but I was willing to do everything necessary to get enrolled as a full-time student. From that, I enrolled in a sociology course, a political science course, a criminal justice course, and an ethics course. From that, I decided that I wasn't too interested in sociology, and I was more interested in being a political science major. So I went on to study political science, and as I study process and policy, and I understand that the environment that we live in is pretty much procedural, I start to see that the procedures around me were kind of falling out of place or weren't fine-tuned. So I came to my first Board of Trustee meeting. I thought it was kind of cool. It reminded me of city council meetings I used to attend during my internship in 2010. So I continued to come and speak out and spoke out a little, cried more than I wanted, but I kind of felt like my voice was being heard. But with that being said, I'm saying that I don't agree with the processes and policies here on campus, and it's made it tremendously difficult for me to excel as a student. As I said, I'm a graduating senior this year, 2014. I came in 2011 as a transfer student. So I was expected to graduate spring 2013. That semester, I received a courtesy call from Dr. Bradbury indicating that two of the classes that I was expected to take that semester that would graduate me that spring, two of my four classes were dropped. The two of the four classes were dropped due to low enrollment. We couldn't fill up a classroom, so it isn't feasible to have less than 10 students in a class. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to graduate last spring of 2013, but I did everything necessary to keep going. I mean, I still attended board meetings and any special meetings I could so that my voice could be heard, so that administrators and Board of Trustees could hear and understand that unfortunately, it hasn't been an easy road for me as a student here, and no one ever said that it would be easy, but I feel as though there are some process and policies in place that hasn't lended to my success as a student. I even had a meeting with Ms. Peoples because the fall of 2013, I received a courtesy call from the bursar saying that my account, that I had a past due balance on my account. And I'm like, well, how do I have a past due balance on my account if I was issued refunds and stuff like that? I mean, how can you give me a refund if I owe you money? And she's like, well, you didn't sign a Title IV something something, and basically we weren't able to keep your book voucher money, and we gave you some money that we shouldn't have gave you, and now you owe us $900. And I'm like, well, I'm in the middle of doing research on constitutional liberalism and authoritarian governments. Like, I don't have time to think about $900 that you misplaced. So I met with Ms. Peoples to let her know, again, somewhere process and policy is not right if you gave me money back that you shouldn't have. So I'm here today to ask the board if you could act on my behalf to use the funds that I poured into the university to send the university into a better light. Unfortunately, at this juncture, my academic journey, I'm concerned with the return on my investment. Chicago State is struggling to be put in a positive light, and as I prepare to go out into the world, I'm concerned with the way I've been looked at as a Chicago State graduate. So I'm not sure what we can do to resolve the issue or what we can do to increase the reputation of the university, what we can do to make sure that our process and policies are fine-tuned so that we are graduating students in a timely fashion. I think that would be, a great thing for future students. Again, thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, and thank you for making this opportunity available. My name is Mike Sikowski. I'm the director of the Center for Teaching and Research Excellence here at the university. And with the board's indulgence, I would like to use this as a teaching moment to the young lady who made the comment that faculty, staff, and students have no confidence in Dr. Watson. It is only a handful. And to make generalizations that there is no support of the president is incorrect, and I would like to talk to you about that. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
She can't come back, but the chair. No. If you don't say, I'll say it. She can't come back again. It's not a tay-tay.
Hi, my name is Gerald Shin. I'm a graduate student here in the history program at Chicago State University. The Potemkin Village here is quite remarkable.
Potemkin Village.
In its facade. That's okay. The enrollment here in 2010 was 7,362. In 2011 was about 6,800. 2012, 6,100. In the fall, it was 57. And now, according to SGA President Dennis Johnson, at the open meeting they had on Tuesday, we're at 5,279. Now, I know that the various excuses from the administration, let me say, the 2011 students that were dismissed for, you know, non-academic achievement, that was a few hundred students, but that was at the end of the 2011 academic year. So that would have been part of the drop from 73 to 68. But the biggest drop is between 2011 and 2012, 68 to 61. Those students were already gone. You can't double count them. I know you'd love to, but you can't double count them. At an October 2013 student concerns meeting with Vice President Peebles, she said that the drop between 2012 and 2013 was because some grad level ed programs had to be shut down. But you go to the IBHE website and you see that we didn't have a total number of grad level ed students to equal the drop in enrollment. And last time I checked, we still have grad level ed students, right? So, the numbers just don't add up. Enrollment is down 28%. You bring up that there's a drop in enrollment. Another thing is, you know, another one of the excuses is enrollment is down everywhere. That was talk when enrollment was down pretty much across the state, right? Except for one thing, 28%, right? Versus I think the state average was 2.3. You know, saying we had a drop, they had a drop, is like saying, I got money, Mitt Romney has money, so therefore me and Mitt Romney are equal, because I got $10 in my pocket and Mitt Romney's got $100 million in his pocket, but we both got money, we both had a drop, right? It's not logical, okay? 28%, that's the drop over the last 4 years. At the pace we're going, is give us another couple of years by the time that new contract runs out. 2016, it's gonna be last student out, turn off the lights, okay? The repeated scandals in the Chicago Tribune are not the fault of the Chicago Tribune. Robert Pionis did not plagiarize a dissertation. Jody Cohen didn't mess up a financial audit or all the rest of the scandals that have been in the newspaper. Newscasters don't make planes crash. They just report it, okay? The people who do the sports in Chicago are not responsible for the Cubs not having won a World Series in a little over 100 years. It's the Cubs that are responsible for the Cubs not having won a game. The 72 Pinto blew up. It wasn't Ralph Nader's fault that it did. He's the one who let customers know that buying this car was a disaster. The people who report on the scandals, the dirty laundry that I hear about all the time, are simply letting the potential customers of Chicago State know what they're going to buy into. And given the cost, the time, and money investment that's made in higher education, do not the potential customers of this university have the right to know what the quality of the product is? It's not the fault of Consumer Reports to letting people know the good sides and downsides of the product. It's the responsibility of those who sell the product to sell a better product. The end result speaks for itself. The would-be students here are not coming here. Have a good day.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, Philip Beverly, Associate Professor of Political Science. I'd like to leave you my remarks in writing for the record, if that's acceptable to you.
Certainly. Are there any other comments?
I did want to summarize it, though. Maybe less than 2 minutes. You'll find in my remarks that I covered six areas. Academic integrity, something about our accuracy in media, sort of saying costs or damages awarded in a civil case will be covered by insurance. Punitive damages are never covered by insurance, so I'd like us to be a little bit more accurate when we contact the media. Some concerns about cyberbullying. A real concern I have about the instability in the Dean of Students' office. We just lost our last incumbent after just 90 days, and so concern for students. I think we need to take a look at why we're not able to keep deans of students for some reason. The declining enrollment, we've been banging away at that horse for a while. And the one that I seem to have a little bit of knowledge on, and that's sort of around our emergency management activities. After the unfortunate death of a CPS student at an event hosted at our university, the family chose to name the university in the suit, and that's unfortunate. The more unfortunate part, because, for the record, our police department was impeccable in our response to that. We absolutely did everything that we were supposed to do, offenders in custody, the whole thing. It was well managed. The communication side of that wasn't well managed, and that wasn't on the police. Police did, law enforcement was spot on. The thing that I was most concerned about was the absence of an incident action plan consistent with the National Incident Management System. NIMS is federal law, and we are not NIMS compliant. Now, whatever narratives may be going on about whatever subject at the university, there's not too many people here who can tell me about NIMS.
I can also.
Because you've done what? Been in my class where I taught you about NIMS. I want to get my students NIMS sort of thinking about things as I want the university to be thinking this way. Because if you were to call the NIMS compliance officer at IEMA today, right now, and had her come and do an assessment of the university, she would tell you we are not NIMS compliant. And she has offered us the opportunity to come here and do said assessment. We've got to get better at what we do around emergency management. There's consequences for that. Thank you.
Hello, how are you all? My name is Willie Pressman. And I'm the elected board of trustees.
This is how they do us on campus.
Ma'am, you've already had your time to speak.
They whisk us away. The police officers do that. I have been detained because I was using
my
first
amendment rights. Ma'am, we listened to you.
I understand
politely when you had your time to speak.
I am just letting you guys know what really happens on this campus. This is not right. The students should be whisked away by police officers. That is the only thing I'm saying. They're probably on their way to get me right now, but this is wrong, and you guys need to be held accountable.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Or just 1 second. As they were mentioning before, I'll be, you know, taking a trip down south. But before I go, I'm going to tell you something. When I was an officer in the military for 27 years. I did 3 tours in Iraq. I went to 17 different countries with the military. I retired as a colonel, and I was also the chief of the Illinois Department of Public Health. I was also the chief of the medical and aeromedical wing for medical. If I did not support my chain of command, I would not be standing in front of you today. It's an idiot that says I want to be part of an organization and does nothing but to try to destroy the basis of the organization they've joined.
That's true.
You have to really start checking yourself out if that's the position you think you're in. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.
My name is Ann Kuzdale. I'm a history faculty member. I wasn't going to comment because I don't know if you actually listen. So after listening to a couple of colleagues here, I thought maybe I should make a couple of points just for the record. One is, Mr. Sikowski's comment that it's only a handful of people who have no confidence in this administration, and you should know by now that that is not true, that there is quite a lot of animosity on this campus. There is more than a handful. Two votes of no confidence is not a small thing. Now, some boards of trustees take this seriously, others don't. But we don't represent ourselves. We represent the people in our departments. We don't represent what I hear in the hallways from other administrators who are afraid to speak out, because when they are asked to, oh, be honest with me, they're reported to the provost office. Oh, I went to this department and they treated me hostily. What's the response after that? I'm not speaking out. So don't be deluded. And I'm sorry, I know I've seen you before, but I'm not sure who you are. And we're not in the military. I'm sorry to tell you that. But chain of command works in the military. It might work in a business corporation. But this is an academy. We're supposed to have dissent and debate as a way to move forward. At least the universities that I've been to and the universities that most people know, there's a reason why a lot of the hostility coming from this campus is coming from certain departments. Those are the departments that major in critical thinking. We have had PhDs that have gone through the ringer. We have had many of our faculty have multiple degrees, not just education doctorates, not just doctorates. We have doctorates of philosophy. So there's a difference there, and our approach to criticism is very different than a corporate business model is, which I realize a lot of administrators are in love with, but it is not a university's prime function to be a business corporation. I think that's all I'm going to say, because I was going to say something else about the lack of support for faculty research here. Six people applied for sabbaticals this year. Two of them were granted. We're spending $30,000 on a law firm this month to, it sounds like, do surveillance on faculty. We're spending $2.5 million and probably more than that to end James Crawley's lawsuit. 400% increase in the legal affairs department over the last year, and we're supporting two sabbaticals. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Doctor. Our rules don't allow for responses.
Oh no,
you've had your time, and that's.
No, I just wanted to say I'm a physician. I'm a physician and also a military person. Less than 0.1% of people in this country ever support that. The thing I support was for the person to come up here and use public debate and discussion and to have a forum so they could be heard. That's what I fought for, and that's why I left some dead people on a battlefield overseas. So don't ever talk about my military background, one. Second thing is that when you have the ability to stand up here and freely speak, I was giving my personal opinion as an individual citizen, and I feel that I need to support the function of the body I'm a part of. That's
yes,
all.
Sir. Thank you. Everybody else is.
And again, thank you so much. I would like to respond to Professor Kuzdale. And other faculty, because of my role here at the university, I hear from faculty all the time, and I wish I wasn't on Faculty Senate, because there are people on there that only have their personal agendas, and I feel so uncomfortable having to attend those meetings. So maybe Professor Kuzdale and her Senate colleagues need to really rethink who they represent and how they represent.
We'll entertain a motion
to adjourn.
I second the motion.
Trustee Curtin? Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leek?
Yes.
Trustee Rayna?
Absolutely.
Trustee Smith? Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zolak?
I got to call
them. Have mercy.
Very cool. I'm looking forward to meeting you.
You glad you took this position?
Have a good time.
Okay.
We want to meet with Mr. Mayo. Mr. Mayo!
You know what? No, I told her.
Well,
yes. Well, I want to sit down.